In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If today's gospel reading sounds somewhat familiar, congratulations, you've been in church during summer. Good job. I think one of the reasons the lectionary puts this John chapter 6 over 6 or 7 weeks is so in case you miss the occasional Sunday, you don't really miss anything. We pick up right where you left off. As one of my priest friends on Facebook put it, we get it, you're the bread of life, move on. The thing is, though, I really don't think that we get it. What it means for Jesus to say, I am the bread of life. Certainly, the people who first hear this don't get it. I can't imagine how they could. There is no Eucharistic theology as Jesus is teaching here. In fact, next week we'll hear how many disciples went away. They couldn't deal with this teaching. And I can't really imagine what it was like to be standing there the previous day or so, having been fed miraculously by Jesus. And now he's saying, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood in order to truly be saved. I don't see how that could come across in any good way. I'm sure they were all looking at each other like, what is he talking about? I mean, this is before the crucifixion and the resurrection. There is no spiritual component to this at all. I mean, the church has argued for centuries over what it means to eat the body and drink the blood of Christ. We disagree now on what it means. The whole essence of Anglicanism in the Episcopal Church is that people who have very different ideas about this exact thing can still come together and say the same words around this and mean very different things, understand it in different ways. What does it mean to eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus Christ? Certainly the first hearers and the first readers of John's gospel were completely freaked out. And it didn't help anything when the early church was meeting in catacombs surrounded by dead bodies and talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. Then quite a few rumors got started. But even now, what do we mean? At one end of the spectrum, you have the idea of transubstantiation, that the bread and the wine, the very substance, the essence of them, changes into the body of Christ and his blood. Even though the outward appearance doesn't change at all, the inward essence, the inward substance is changed. At the other end of the spectrum, you have the understanding that the Lord's Supper in general is an ordinance. It's something that was ordered by Christ, and you should do it not that often, maybe 4 times a year. That it's not central to the idea of worship, but it's something that we do, and it's a symbol of the Last Supper. It's a memorial to what Jesus Christ did. We, of course, are somewhere in the middle of all that, although probably closer to the Roman Catholic end of the spectrum. We do proclaim the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, but we don't deign to explain that, mainly because we don't think you can explain it. It is inexplicable. There's no way to explain how bread and wine can be body and blood, and yet we accept the truth of Jesus' statement that somehow Jesus really is present in the bread and the wine. That when we come up to the altar and receive the bread and the wine, we are doing something profound. That we are joining our lives with Christ and him with us. That it's transformative in what we do, and that we need to do it at least each week, that we need that sustenance to sustain us as we go out and seek to be Christ to the world, that he may dwell in us and we in him, that we can be the light of Christ in the world. We're not going to do that under our own power. We need the body and blood of Christ to feed us, to nourish our very souls, in order that we can be that light, to be Christ. Today of all days reminds us of the importance of being light in a dark world. It is dark out there. And yet we go out those doors and we can shine because we are one with Christ. And no, we can't explain it. We shouldn't even try. but we should dwell on and abide in the holy mystery that Christ died for us and invites us to share in a life with Him at so fundamental a level, it's at the molecular level, that we eat and drink His body and blood, that He may evermore dwell in us and we in Him. It's more than a memorial. It's more than a symbol. Somehow, Christ really is present. The bread of life really does come down that we may have eternal life with Him. And rather than trying to explain it, I worship it. I delight in it. I am awed by it. I am humbled by it. And I am thankful for it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.